We're going to be in Romans chapter 1 this morning, just a brief message. If you're here this morning and you don't have a copy of God's Word, we'd love to give you a copy of God's Word. In the seat in front of you, you'll see a blue Bible there. We want you to not only use that today, but please take it home with you and read it as you're at home. And if you choose to come back to Charleston Baptist Church to worship with us, please bring it back with you and use it here as well. And so if you're going to be using the church-provided Bible, we're going to be on page 1040 this morning. And I know some of you are going bonkers because you look on the back sheet where you're supposed to have some sermon note blanks and you're just going crazy because there's no blanks to fill out. There's one big blank. Fill out as much as you want, right? So you're in suspense. You don't know when to start packing up, and that's a good thing, right? Yes. You guys have developed habits, I know. So, all right. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Let's listen to the word of the Lord. So the Apostle Paul is under the power of the Holy Spirit, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and these are the words that he writes, verse 14 through 17. It says, I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. In our passage this morning, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome. And we need to understand that up in this to this point, the Apostle Paul had not yet had the opportunity to go to Rome himself physically. But yet he writes this letter to the church in Rome. And really, Romans is packed full of theological truths about God, about who we are apart from God and who we are because of Jesus Christ in us. He talks about community. He talks about life transformation. He talks about spiritual warfare. He talks about all these different things. But in our passage this morning, verses 14 through 17, what the Apostle Paul teaches us in there, he teaches us that for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, when you know and understand what allowed you to go from death to life, you will have characteristics that begin to shape in your life. That you will know that you have a responsibility and accountability to what God has given you by His grace through faith. You know, when you read the New Testament, you encounter several places by Jesus Christ Himself that tells people who He is, right? You go up throughout the New Testament, you'll hear Jesus say things like this, I am the bread of life. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the good shepherd. I am the life. I am what? I am the living water. And what Paul does in verses 14 through 17, he doesn't tell us characteristics about Jesus as far as I am statements about Jesus, but what he does is he gives us three I am statements about those who are followers of Jesus Christ. And listen to what Paul says. Listen to his heart. When he knows, when we understand what God has called us from and what God has called us to, when we understand the weight and the privilege of the gospel, there's going to be I am statements about us. And the I am statements, all three of them that we're going to find in this passage, they're all present tense. That means that that's not who I was when I was 10, or when I was at vacation Bible school, or 50 years ago. This is who I am now. And what are the characteristics of someone who understands and is accountable to the gospel that has been so graciously given to us? Well, he says in verse 14, he says what? He says, I am under obligation. That word obligation means debtor, right? We know what debt is, right? Specifically from a financial standpoint. Some of y'all are going to be inquiring some tuitional debt for the first time this year, right? We know what it's like to have a mortgage. We know what it's like to have medical bills. We know what it's like to have car payments and all those things. And yet, in the midst of that debt, we long to do what? We long to have it paid off, right? But think about what Paul is teaching us here. Paul is not talking about financial obligation that one day will be paid off. He is talking about the obligation that every Christian has because we possess something far more valuable than an education, a home, a car, or the material possessions that we have. We possess the message of the gospel. Paul Paul says, I am a debtor. Now, what caused Paul to have this deep sense of obligation? He never got over his salvation. He knew and he understands and he's living in the fact that Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ brought him from death to life. The fact that his religious activities apart from Christ did nothing for him. Yes, he may have been characterized as a good person. But he had no relationship with Jesus Christ until Jesus Christ entered his world on the Damascus Road and brought salvation to him. And Paul responded in faith. And the question is for us, what causes me to have a sense of obligation? It's the same thing. We don't get over our salvation. We know who we are apart from Christ. And we know the riches and the inheritance that we have because of Christ in us. We never get over the fact that God sent Jesus Christ on a rescue mission to rescue us from darkness and lostness, the wrath of God, and separation from Him forever. You see, our greatest need is to know Jesus Christ. And as we know Jesus Christ, we know God our Creator. That's what happened. We had a relationship with God. Adam and Eve, sin enters the world. It broke that relationship. But Jesus Christ comes and He provides a way to fix it, right? The only way. And as we respond to Him in faith, that relationship comes together. But many of us, we walk the Christian life and unfortunately we're numb to that obligation. We think that our role is just to show up on Sunday morning. Sing some songs, throw some money in the plate, say a prayer, go to Bible study, and that's it. No, it's far greater than that. Think about it. What is the most common reason why we don't feel a sense of obligation? And I'm speaking to myself too. The reason why most often is because most of us think that we have always been pretty good. That's it. We think we've all been pretty good. That somehow God needs us on His team. That somehow God needs us to give Him what He needs, right? And our lack of obligation leads us to a place of apathy, callousness. We feel like that we're good moral people, right? Well, it's because we've forgotten or lost perspective of sin and our separation from God. And so the question now is, who do I have an obligation to? This is important. Because we can quickly conclude that I have an obligation to somehow pay God back, right? Listen, if you're on a journey with Christ and you walk through life thinking, man, I've got to pay God back for everything that He's done for me, you're on a tiresome, exhausting road. Why? Because you never can pay it back. That's why it's called what? Grace. You can't pay it back. So the word obligation for us as it pertains to God is there is an accountability. There is a responsibility that we have to God's mission in us and through us. And so the question is, to who is that obligation? Well, Paul teaches us here. He says, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. When Paul says to the Greeks or to the wise, he's referring to those who are well-to-do, that are the ones that are high society, the ones that seem to have it all together. They look great on the outside. They have the nice car parked in the driveway. They have a great education. You walk into their office, you see diploma after diploma. You see accolade after accolade. And the barbarians, those who are unwise, are the complete opposite of that. And so what you have is you have this total separation between one class and another class, if you will. And so what is Paul communicating when he refers to Greeks, barbarians, wise and unwise? He's teaching us that the gospel has the ability to reach both sides, and not just both sides, everything that falls in the middle. You and I must understand that there is no one too young or too old. There is no one too hardened or too callous or too rebellious that is beyond the reach of God's amazing grace. You see, we need to understand and we need to have a gospel lens of people that only sees people in two categories and that's it. Those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and those who don't. And all that morality, all that other stuff, when you keep the main thing, you're going to reflect Jesus Christ far greater. Why? Because there is an obligation, there is a responsibility. Not only does Paul live with this constant sense of obligation, he teaches us that, man, he is eager. He says that he's eager in verse 15. He says, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. The word eager means there, I am ready. I am passionate. The very depths of my soul, the greatest passion that I have in this life is eager to share the gospel to you. Paul, 3 decades after his conversion, is still as enthusiastic about the gospel as he was the very first moment he received the gospel. Think about it. Paul didn't need to be coerced, right? He didn't need to be twisted. He didn't need to have all the comfort needs met. He simply lived his life by faith in Christ. And it's through that relationship that Jesus constantly and consistently put a fire in him of passion and readiness and eagerness. This verse is incredible because here's Paul. He's actively engaged in the life of ministry for 30 hectic years, by the way. So think about Paul's ministry. He's experienced incredible triumphs, but yet he's experienced suffering and hardships, discouragement. At this point in ministry, he's almost 60 years old. He's probably had thoughts of throwing in the towel. He's done. It's somebody else's job, right? But yet he says, I'm eager to go to Rome and preach the gospel. Why Rome? Well, Rome was known as the toughest place in the known world at the time. Rome was the capital of the Roman Empire, where idolatry and wickedness and sexual perversion was rampant. And yet Paul says, I can't wait to go to Rome. I want to go to Rome. So he's saying that the most darkest place that in the known world, the place that's the toughest, the hardest, the one that needs the greatest bridge to gap sinners to God, that's where I want to go. You see the heart of Paul. Why? Because Paul had the mindset that darkness cannot conquer light. But the light will always overcome what? The darkness. Think about why Paul was willing to go to Rome. Why is it, as you consider the landscape of your life, the place of influence that you have, when you consider your Rome, your place that's hard, yes, your neighborhood, your workplace, the places that your kids are going to be going to school or where you go to school, and yes, even in our own homes, what motivates us? What gets us passionate about this message called the gospel? Well, he tells us in verse 16 and 17. In verse 16, he starts off this, for I am what? That's the third I am statement. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That word ashamed means confident. I am not losing confidence of what? The power of the gospel. Now think about why we often lose confidence in the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel. Here's several reasons why we often lose confidence. One is sometimes we confuse our confidence in the gospel with our confidence in ourselves, right? Right? Sometimes we settle for religious activity and not gospel transformation. Sometimes we confuse one's rejection of the gospel with weakness of the gospel. Sometimes we have a tendency to try to add something to the gospel which is neither needed or accepted, right? And sometimes we don't see God working in our own lives, in our own situation, so we conclude that what? It's not all powerful. But yet, Paul teaches us something. He says that we should never be ashamed. We should never lose confidence in the message of Jesus Christ. Why? Because for it is the power of God for salvation. Now the question is, what is the it, right? What is the it that Paul is talking about? Is the it some great ministry? Is the it some great slogan? Is the it some great band and choir? Is the it some whatever? No, the it is the message of Jesus Christ crucified. That is the it. Our only hope, church, our only hope for an undeserved second chance comes through the message of God's grace through Jesus Christ. That is it. The gift of salvation originates with God. It's fulfilled through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it never goes out of date. It never loses its power. It never loses its relevance. It's the power of a simple declaration that Jesus saves, that Jesus heals and that Jesus restores. It has the power to transform a person's life. Paul was convinced that the power to change the human heart was in the power of the person and finished work of Christ and no one else. It has the power to blast away all the shackles that hold us into bondage. Whatever that sin is, it's the light of the gospel that breaks through those chains. You see, his power has no boundaries. And then he says, to everyone who believes, to the Jews first, also to the Greek, the hardest of heart, the one who has heard the message of Jesus Christ for the first time or for the thousandth time, to the one who is living in sexual sin, addiction, pride, denial, when one surrenders their life to Christ, salvation is what? Granted. Whether you are a Jew or a Greek, salvation is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You see, there isn't one way for the Jew, the religious crowd, and one way for the Gentile, the crowd of the world. There aren't two different ways. There's one way. There's only one narrow gate that leads to the kingdom of God, and that is through the gospel. And so we see the supremacy of the gospel. Think about it. It has all the very power of God. Think about it. The very power of God is wrapped up where? In the gospel. If you want to experience the power of God, respond to the gospel. That's what he's teaching us. And so not only is the gospel supreme, we also see the simplicity in the gospel to everyone who believes. Think about it. You see, God doesn't ask us to behave first. He asks us to believe. Church, man, we would do wise in our families and the ministries of this church to get that order right. So often we look for behavioral modification before the ability for gospel transformation. No, 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 no. Gospel transformation leads to what? Behavioral modification. We're fighting the wrong battle, church. We look at the society around us and we think, oh, they got to stop doing this and they got to stop doing that and they got to boom, 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 boom. Listen, they got no hope past the gospel. It's the gospel that generates a heart of transformation, right? So let's start fighting and investing in the right battle. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written. The righteousness, what? Shall live by faith. Our only hope to be right with God is to receive what? His righteousness. A righteousness that doesn't come from us. A self-reliance that doesn't come from us, but dependency on Him and Him alone. How can imperfect people have a relationship with a perfect God? You ever ask that question? The only way is the fact that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who accomplished all things, right? He said it was finished. And belief in Him, dependency on Him, is how that transaction works. You see, the gospel reveals a righteousness that is by faith. We can't achieve salvation by good works. We must receive salvation through faith. And the same faith that makes us right with God, this is important because he says some interesting language there. He says, from faith, for faith, right? Why all this stuff going on? It's important. Not only is faith the entrance into a relationship with God, right? Faith is how you grow in Christ. Your dependency on Christ gives you the ability to grow in Christ, to reflect Christ-likeness in your life. What compelled Paul and what compels us to live lives that are not ashamed of the gospel, eager to share the gospel, because we know we have an obligation, we have accountability, we have a responsibility to those who desperately need the gospel? Dependency on Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. You see, each of the three I am statements, again, is in the present tense. A church and an individual who lacks a sense of obligation, lacks the sense of eagerness and passion, and lacks a sense of confidence in the gospel. You know why that happens? Because we aren't daily dependent on Him. That's the simple truth. When we transition our life to rely on ourselves, when we parent in a way that relies on ourselves, when we do marriage in a way that relies on ourselves, when we do life in a way and earn income and spend and all those different things in a way that removes God out of the picture, guess what? We're going to be a group of people that aren't eager, that aren't obligated, and we're very much not confident in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I believe the Lord wants something different, doesn't He? I'm asking us, together as a body of Christ, that we keep the main thing the main thing. We preach Christ crucified, And we don't just preach it. We model it to those around us. We understand the importance of gospel community. That will be one of the reasons why the church is ineffective, specifically in America, is because we do not understand the importance of gospel community. I pray that your small group and your Sunday school class, if you're in one, and if you're not, you need to be in one, invest in the lives of one another. It's not just about teaching a message. Yes, biblical truth is important. It's not just about having an experience that you guys enjoy being a part of. Yes, an experience is important. And it's not just about building relationships. Yes, relationships are important. But when you get all three of those things working together, you will have gospel community. And when we have gospel community, the world better watch out. We will be healthy disciples of Christ. As we go to our time of response, as Pastor Sean and the praise team come up and the choir lead us in our response song, our invitation song, I just want to ask you, if you're here and you have a relationship with Christ, do you have a sense of obligation? I mean, think about it. I don't know what's harder. The fact that Paul had this obligation and responsibility to the gospel, or is it harder for the fact that so many in America, in the church in America, have little to no sense of obligation with the gospel? Maybe you're here this morning and for whatever reason, the passion is gone. Listen, the gospel doesn't give us mechanical passion, by the way. It gives us something that is supernatural. So regardless if you're going through hardship or suffering or ridicule or rejection or age is getting to you or physical pains are getting to you, you can still have passion of the gospel. Why? Because it comes from Him and only from Him. And maybe you're here this morning and you're walking through a really hard time. You got relational baggage, you got personal baggage, you got emotional baggage. There's a struggle with some of the things going on in your mind. Maybe there's a coworker that you don't know how to address, or maybe a family member that is walking away from the Lord. Please, please, don't lose sight of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Abide in Him. He will protect you. He will guide you. He will give you wisdom. You will see restoration in ways that you've never thought were possible. Let us rely on the one thing and the only thing that connects us back to God and gives us abundant life today. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever your decision is, I'll be up front. I'd love to pray with you. The altar will be open for you to pray. I just want to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Let us stand and sing to Him.